And today, tonight, the one and only Nate is going to give us his experience, strength, and hope. Nate, alcoholic.
I just stole your water, Patrick. I'll have to start this off with making an amends. I rationalized that you didn't use it, so I'll use it. Thanks, Rob, for asking me to come up here and hopefully share a message of hope. You know, it's funny because Patrick told me a couple weeks ago that he was going to be the 10-minute. And then I asked him, who's the main speaker? And he's like, I don't know yet. Oh, that's weird. So I asked him again, like, 2 or 3 days later. I don't know who the main speaker is. Okay, well, and I was all fired up, you know, because I've had a front row seat, you know, to watch Patrick come in. And, you know, as he was sharing, you know, his story there, I thought about, in the doctor's opinion, Roman numeral 31, there's a little passage that says, from a trembling, despairing, nervous wreck had emerged a man brimming over with self-reliance and contentment. You know, and that's absolutely what I've seen. You know, he has caught it, and then I'll end the story. And then at the stag meeting, like last week or a week before, Rob asked me if I could speak on the 19th. It was right before the meeting. I didn't say anything to Patrick. And then he announced it. And Patrick looked over at me like, come on, dude. I was like, I had no idea. but no, he certainly caught it. And for those that are new, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. Whether it's your first time or like me, I was in and out for a long time, right? You know, he's caught it because, you know, he's done what's necessary to stay sober. You know, that's my experience, you know. We do the work in here, and we get the results, and we don't want to leave, right? I have a lot of experience of coming in here not doing the work, and I can get it like a month or two on my own, and then I'm out. Because I'm like, if this is what recovery is about, I'm gone. And it wasn't recovery. It was just abstinence. You know, and that's my experience too. Abstinence and not recovery. It's necessary, right? But it's not going to keep me sober. I'll tell you that. Because I'll be alone in my thought, my head, my understanding. And I'm a dead man walking, you know. If you're new and you don't have a book, let me know after the meeting. We'll get you a book, you know. Because this book has saved my life. You know, this is our design for living, our map. I once had heard a speaker in AG, and, you know, he said, it's not going to be word for word, but he basically said, if you give somebody a call and ask them if you can pick, ask them if they can pick you up, right? What's the first thing they're going to ask you? Where are you, right? Where are you at? Right? So the same thing in here. I gotta let the guys that I know in my inner circle know where I'm at up here, right? For me to get any help, right? I just want to welcome you to. I used to hear welcome home and I just cringe because this is the last house on the block. I did not want to be here. But I have a sobriety date of July 26th of 2016. Just celebrated 7 years. We celebrated 7 years. You know, that's a miracle for a drug addict alcoholic like myself. You know, I have a sponsor, Kevin G, who's I do my best to remain sponsorable. He walks the walk, which interests me. You know, it's very contagious to surround myself with guys because I've been in and out, so I can talk the talk. I had the talking part down, I'll tell you that, right? But inside, I was dying, right? I'm so grateful for the men that, especially at that Thursday night men's stag, you know, the guys that, they're solution-based. You know, they didn't allow me to sit in my problems because I was whining and crying when I came in here. You know, they'd ask me, you know, what meeting are you going to tomorrow? You know, and I'd say, what does that have to do with anything? You know, it has everything to do with it, you know, just stay in the effort business, right? And I've learned a lot from that group, you know, and I mean, and it's still my home group. That was my first service commitment. I was the timekeeper. I had about 3 or 4 months. I became the timekeeper there. And I don't know how many Thursday nights came, you know, in that first 2, 3 months, year, that I didn't want to go to a meeting on a Thursday night, right? And I had that timekeeping commitment. So if you're new as well, you know, I would highly encourage you to get service commitments, you know, whether it be the greeter. My sponsor would tell me to go to the secretaries at the meetings and ask them if there's any service opportunities. And so I would do that, and there would be no service opportunities. And he goes, okay, well, you're going to be the greeter now. I'm like, well, they don't have a greeting commitment. Well, now they do. You're the greeter at that meeting. You know, so start showing up and greeting, right? And getting phone numbers, right? And when you get those phone numbers, start calling those numbers, right? And then I'd say, what if I don't have anything to talk about? And he'd say, well, ask them how they're doing. How about, you know, it's not all about you, right? That's what got you here, you know, making it all about you, right? Yeah, I mean, that's my pitch. You know, it's like the whole thing with new guys is I get fired up, and it might sound like a pitch because this program has saved my life. You know, I know without a doubt that I wouldn't be here without it, right? Oh, and one more thing. The guys would tell me, if you don't feel a part of this thing, it's because you're not. You start feeling a part by doing the work. Start putting the action in. You know, it's not up to Alcoholics Anonymous to not need Nate. I'll tell you that. I need Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. And that comes from a guy out in Fresno, Tomas, that me and Glenn and Al, yeah, you know, he just tells it how it is. Right. And I would listen to his speaker tapes in my first year over and over and over and over again. Right. But that whole feeling of partness. Right. I mean, like Patrick was talking about, you know, I at a young age, I had that complete disconnect. Right. That most of us have. Right. I grew up in Idaho in a smaller town, right? And my family's my dad's atheist, and my mom had a bad experience growing up, you know, in a religion, and this community was very religious. And you know, and as a kid, I wasn't invited to functions because I wasn't in the same religion, right? And that disdain for religion, you know, started very young, right? You know, and I remember, you know, them coming to the house and knocking on the door. My dad would run out there in his underwear. You know, he'd be sleeping. He'd run out there and just chase them off, you know. So that was like my first deal, right? Since doing the work in Alcoholics Anonymous, right? You know, because when I got in here, I was resentful towards it, right? You know, I didn't feel like I had the opportunity. Right. As a kid, I was very resentful towards it. Since looking at my part and having a bigger picture with the whole thing, you know, my parents did the best they could with what they had. You know, I mean, and their experience certainly shaped them. Right. But so I'm 9 years old out there in Idaho. My dad gets a new job in the Midwest in Nebraska. We move out there and, you know, that being disconnected, meeting new friends, you know, was very hard on me. You know, it was very hard. And I remember, you know, and like that's the thing about us alcoholics is we all remember our first drink. You know, like a normie probably doesn't even think about that. But we can like detailed, right, our first drink. And you know, it was me, you know, and I'm going to leave the real names out of it, but me, you know, me, Bob, and Steve, right? We got a bottle that night. Me and Steve finished it, right? And Bob was worried about us, right? You know, years later, you know, me and Steve are the alcoholics, right? Our disease progressed into, you know, active alcoholism. And Bob's a cop now, right? And it's like, that's a perfect example for me, right? Is You know, I was dealing with untreated alcoholism. You know, I firmly believe that I was dealing with untreated alcoholism, full of fear, right? That spiritual malady, oh yeah, totally. And then, you know, like we all do, we remember that feeling, right? That, you know, and it wasn't some bliss or fantasy or anything like that. I was just okay, which I've been searching for my whole life. I was just okay with being me, finally, right? And, you know, and then that, you know, progressed into high school, right? You know, back in the Midwest, we'd go booze cruising all the time, right? We'd be fishing, hunting. You know, it was fun. You know, those were the good times, right? I've heard in here a lot, you know, I wouldn't change my worst day in sobriety for my best day drinking. You know, and that's not my story. You know, because it worked, right? Until it didn't, but it certainly worked, right? It was my solution. I finally found a solution. You know, high school, I'm into sports, football, and I get hurt, and I find my next favorite drink, which is Percocet, right? And, you know, I start going down that rabbit hole quick. You know, me and my buddies would roll around this little small town, and we'd park in front of houses, and we'd put the hood up, right, like we were broken down, and we'd go up to Sue's house and ask her to use her bathroom and her phone, go in the bathroom. My first dealer was a medicine cabinet, right, and we'd score, you know, whatever it took, you know, whatever it took, and then, you know, and then from there, my disease just progressed, you know, mightily. You know, I ended up going to college. I made a brief appearance, right? I always say I'm a University of Nebraska alumni, but I was there for like a year, right? I don't have any degree or anything, you know, but I had a good time. It was still fun at that time. You know, I had a great time. You know, I'm like 19, and then, you know, the wheels fell off for the first time. You know, I'm not going to class. Absolutely, right? I'm disassociating myself from my family. You know, my mom doesn't know where I am, right? Just running amok, right? And I find myself in my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, at 19. You know, I was young. That was the only meeting that was, like, available that night. But at the time, I could... At a very early age, I could identify that I'm a drug addict, absolutely. But alcohol, nah, I don't know about that, right? I wasn't there yet, right? You know, I ended up, I don't even remember what was said that night. I was just all about Nate, right? And what I was going to do after, and, you know, my plans and my ideas, but I do remember the laughter. I do remember that. You know, I remember the laughter. I remember just the fact that these people were okay with this drinking coffee, you know, which was baffling to me. You know, I was sitting in my seat that whole meeting just like, get me out of here. And then I was off to the races again. And I ended up in my first rehab. You know, like the span of like 3 or 4 years, I don't remember much. You know, it was rehab after rehab. It was outpatient clinics. It was detoxes. It was, you know, overdosing. Ended up in hospitals. I'd wake up. My parents would be there, right? It was that kind of deal, right? In 2016, I just got out of my fourth treatment center. In treatment, I was like, I was that guy that would get there beaten up and then I would come to in this ego of mine and this like, by the end of it, I was like another counselor there. I was telling everybody what they need to do when they get out, right? Just telling everybody what they need to do, you know, self-knowledge, you know, I've learned all about this disease, right? This time's going to be different, right? So in 2016, I get out, you know, again. And by that point, my family, you know, had started getting really well, you know, they weren't allowing me back home. You know, they knew that, you know, this disease, you know, the family gets sick as well, you know, and they had to start setting those boundaries, and thank God, right? So I ended up homeless in Omaha, Nebraska. I was going to meetings. You guys would talk about getting a sponsor and start working the steps, right? And you know, I would get in here and I'd go right to 8, 9, and I'd start making those amends, right? Because I wanted to feel better, right? At the expense of others, right? This time's going to be different. Those broken promises, right? You know, and I meant everything. You know, my intentions, I meant it, right? But I was spiritually sick and I did not know, you know. And you made a good point, Patrick, about the progressiveness of this disease. You know, what this disease really is. It tells us right here in the doctor's opinion. You know, I share with men that, you know, if they don't know if they're an alcoholic or not, read the doctor's opinion. If you can, it's pretty easy, in my opinion, to, you know, self-diagnose just by reading that doctor's opinion, right? So I'm homeless out there, and I get a phone call from my brother who lives out here in Cali, down in Orange County. He has a house on the beach, right? And it was in March in Nebraska, and it was cold, right? And he said, "Hey, you know, I heard you've fallen on hard times. You can come out here and move out here with us if you stay sober." Right. And, you know, us alcoholics, you know, I just jumped, you know, because it's Nebraska that's the problem. Right. If I move and I'm going to move on the beach in Cali, right, I can stay sober there. Right. So I get on a flight, and I remember it was St. Patrick's Day of 2016. And I know that because they offered free drinks on the flight. And I was actually sober at the time. And I did not take that drink, right? And I get off the flight, and my brother picks me up. You know, the love and the care and the compassion that they showed me, you know, and what did I do with that? You know, there was Nate. You know, same song, same dance. You know, so there's meetings down there on the hour, every hour. You know, there's no excuse, right? So what I started doing, you know, because this is my alcoholic mind, I started hopping around to other meetings so nobody would realize who I am, you know, because I could hide out really easily down there, right? And that's what I did, you know. And then, you know, I ended up getting a job, had a bad day at work, of course, you know, and that thought came, right? That thought that I know what will relieve that anxiety, right? You know, I went and got a couple beers, which was 240s, you know, because that's how we roll, right? And, you know, and for me, you know, it always started with that drink. It always started with that drink, and then that it would lead to that bag and that other stuff, right? And I'd be off to the races. And that's exactly what happened, you know. All those yets that I would hear, because I started going to meetings at a young age, right? And you guys would share your experience. And that hasn't happened to me, right? There's all those yets. Those all happened. Right. And then I ended up one night going back to my brother's house. I had a plan again. Right. I was going to pack up all my stuff in my car and drive back to Nebraska and run from my problems once again. Right. Run from Nate, really. Right. And I go there. And my brother, you know, says, if you get in that car, I'm going to call the cops, you know, because you're loaded. Right. Why don't you just sleep on it? And we'll talk about it tomorrow. Right. So I get up the next morning and he had already had a detox bed ready for me in Santa Barbara. Right. He already had it ready for me and he had the proposal. Right. And I was still like, yeah, but you got to let me do my thing first and then I'll go up there. Right. You know, because that's how we roll. Right. Let me get my medicine first. So so he ends up taking me up to Santa Barbara. I have till 8, Rob? Okay. He ends up taking me to Santa Barbara Detox, Cottage Hospital, another detox for Nate, right? And on the fourth day, Alcoholics Anonymous brings in a panel. And I looked back at that moment as my moment of clarity. You know, this man was being of service, you know, came in there, Alcoholics Anonymous, and was sharing the message. And he talked about that contempt prior to investigation that's in the spiritual experience in the appendix in the back of the book. And I think it's on the wall here, right there. Right? You know, because for me, Alcoholics Anonymous never worked. You know, I'd been coming around here long enough and I didn't get any results. Right? And this man looked at me right in the eye at that meeting and he says, "Have you ever given Alcoholics Anonymous a chance?" You know? And in that moment, you know, for the first time in a long time, I was honest with another man, right? And I got his number. And then I needed a place to stay after that week. I didn't have anywhere to go, right? So a member up here, you know, that I got in contact with set me up with the halfway house here in town, Pathways. And they had a bed ready for me. So that day I get out, I walk out the front doors, and I'm waiting for my ride. I just heard that another member's going to come down and pick me up. And I get out, and I see this little, like, Honda, I don't even know what car it was. It was a little small car. Roll up, like, fast, and just, like, stop on a dime, like what you've seen in movies, right? Like, oops! And he was, "Nate!" And I was, like, just, like, dying from this disease. And he was like, "Come on!" And I was like, it was Jose Daniel. Yeah. And he had just, thank God, you know, he had just celebrated 1 year free from alcohol, right? And he was on fire, right? Yeah. And we were at two different wavelengths, I'll tell you that. And he got me some food. He got me a pack of cigarettes and a Monster. And then he brought me up here, you know. And I remember the first night at the Pathways house. Probation came knocking at the door and told us all to get on our knees, right? And I'm sure I had something to say about it, right? Because I had an opinion for everything. And when I was on my knees, I had another moment, which is a gift from God that I see now, that this is as far as I can get on my own, right here, right now. This is as far as I can get, right? It's going to be halfway houses, and then it's eventually going to be death, right? You know, so I started getting busy in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, my first meeting was the Tuesday night big book study in Orchid at the church there. I met Bob. I met Lee. Cindy was there. You know, active members of Alcoholics Anonymous. I think Glenn was there too. Active members of Alcoholics Anonymous that welcomed me with open arms, you know. Like you were saying, Pat, you know, it's like, I had never felt that. I'm sure it was there, right? But for some reason, you know, which I see now as a gift, you know, I was receptive to it, right? And then I go to the Thursday night men's stag, and I sit down, and Jesse's sitting right in front of me. And Jesse had like 9 months at the time, right? And I all of a sudden, I see this head just whip around real quick. And, you know, he welcomed me and he was all playing on fire, you know, and, you know, and I'll always remember that moment because he asked me, you know, he didn't really ask me how I was doing because he knew, right? He asked me if I had a sponsor, you know, he asked me what meetings I was going to, right? He asked me, he was talking about service commitments, right? You know, and that's that group, you know, that I was telling you about, my home group right there, you know, Solutions. Right? What are you doing for your recovery? Right? So, you know, I start getting busy with the steps. I get in the doctor's opinion and I can identify really quickly, you know, that, hey, I might have this thing, you know, and that pit that I've been feeling in my stomach all these years, it's probably that spiritual malady that I was completely blocked off from and that I didn't want anything to do with. Right? You know, the men in here would just tell me, you know, just be willing. Be willing to believe that you're not the center of the universe. That's a great start. That's a great start. You know, I'm in the halfway house. I remember staying up late, working the steps. And like what you said, I didn't have a job. So I could go to meetings a lot, and I would start here in the morning. I'd go to the 1600 in the morning. I had a 5 p.m. curfew at the halfway house, so in order for me to go to a meeting after 5 p.m., my sponsor would have to pick me up, but I would also have to go to a meeting in the morning. So I was getting 2 meetings a day, and I lost my train of thought. Where was I? Yeah, yeah. 2 meetings a day, and I didn't have a job, right? I started doing the work, and then this job was you know, the Carpenters Union, which I had no experience on swinging a hammer or anything, right? Had an opening, you know, and I took it, you know, and I started working up on Highway 1 by Hearst Castle, right? With no cell phone service, nothing, alone in my thoughts, right? But I would say that serenity prayer over and over, you know, because that was the only prayer I knew. I would say that serenity prayer over and over and over. And then I'll just share this story real quick. I had a foreman there that was just like on me, like just like, you know, he'd been doing it for 40 years, right? And I'm sure that's how he was taught, right? And that's kind of how that industry is, right? And that was my new experience. So I was just like getting beat up emotionally. And I didn't really have the tools then. Right. But I started sharing about it at meetings. Right. And somebody came up to me after a meeting because I was sharing about it over and over. You know, like I've learned in here, like if me or like a guy keeps sharing about the same thing, it's like, dude, do the work and get through it. You're sitting in it. But that's exactly what I was doing. And then I had a member come up to me and he goes, "Have you tried praying for this guy?" I'm like, "Praying for this guy? Why would I do that?" And he said, "Page 552, you know. And that tells me exactly what to do to this day. You know, pray for their health, their prosperity, and their happiness. Do it for 2 weeks. Even when you don't want to, in their only words, go ahead and do it anyways." So that night was the first time I prayed for him. And I show up to the job site the next morning, and he's gone. They sent him to another job. That was my first experience on praying for somebody. Right? Doesn't always work like that, right? But that was like that God shot, you know, that I didn't even believe in at the time. That was like that God shot that got me fired up, you know, for this thing. And, man, you know, and I only have 10 minutes, but it's like, I'm going to fast forward a little bit, but man, there's certainly been some highs and lows in here. I'll tell you that, you know, this morning I was helping a friend, I was helping my sponsor. He's doing some work in his backyard. You know, we were laying the rebar, you know, because we're going to pour some concrete back there. Right? We were laying the rebar. We were tying it and like, building that foundation, like what you were talking about, right? That foundation, right? Clean house, trust God, and help others. That's our recipe, and that's what the men have showed me in here, you know. God first, others second, yourself third, right? Give freely, you know, what you found, right? Pass this thing on. You know, in order to keep this thing, I got to give it away. You know, and that foundation was instilled that, you know, at 2 years, I was causing a muck in sobriety, you know, by my actions and my behaviors, right? It was things that I didn't get honest about when I went through the 4-step the first time, right? That I kind of just wanted to, you know, have it be my little secret, right? And it damn near took me out. It damn near took me out. But that foundation, you know, finally, right, I got to the point where I could just be completely honest and transparent because I knew I was either going to go or I was going to grow. And I remember Leo, when I started getting honest and sharing, you know, that's the thing about the Thursday night podium. You can't really get up there and just blabber, right? That podium keeps you honest. And you know, I started doing that, and Leo would come up to me, and he'd say, "AFGO." That's AFGO. And I think about the third or fourth time he told me what it meant, you know, another effing growing opportunity. You know, and he was absolutely right. You know, absolutely right. You know, in these last 7 years, which is a miracle, right, I've been able to be a part of, you know, weddings, you know, of members who have gotten married. Jesse, my boy, moved down to Orange County, but, you know, me and him, you know, we went to meetings together and we were crazy together, and we'd be up on Orchid Hill together smoking heaters, just like, you know, insane, right? Most of the time, you know, thank God he'd be fired up and I'd be down here, or I'd be fired up, and we kind of balance each other out, you know. But he got married, right? I was in his wedding, right? And, you know, since then I've watched him, you know, he's married now with two kids, you know, sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, he's down in Orange County, just staying active, helping guys down there, you know, there's just so many things. If I got what I deserved, I'd be in trouble. I'll tell you that. Right. And, you know, the whole God thing, you know, which I was sharing about earlier, you know, step 12 says having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. You know, so that told me early on, you know, stay in the effort business, work the steps, and this relationship will come. You know, it's not a religion, it's a relationship, right? And that's certainly what I have found in here. I have a loving God today, you know, I found my identity and my purpose and not others anymore, right? I practiced that for a long time, right? And I still do. But I have that reprieve now, right, where I can stay grounded. And, you know, that reprieve is a big thing for me, too. I have a daily reprieve contingent on my spiritual maintenance. In this last year, well, I got married a couple years ago now. In October will be 2 years to my beautiful wife, you know, who's been so supportive, you know. I mean, just think about, you know, I remember having the secretary commitment here on the Friday night podium, you know, which, you know, for a lot of women out there, they're normies, they would not be having that, you know, but she loves the effect that Alcoholics Anonymous has produced in my life. You know, she's had a front row seat, right? So we got married, and, you know, Jim was in my wedding, you know, he was up there with me, you know, which, you know, you can't make that stuff up. Glenn was up there with me, you know, and, you know, I think every groomsman that I had was a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous, a brother, right? If you would have told me 7 years ago that that's what was going to happen, that that's what God had in store, I would have laughed, right? But that's the men that I surround myself with today, you know? August 30th of last year, my wife gave birth to our son, Maverick. I thought I knew what love was, you know, and to have an opportunity to, you know, suit up and show up, you know, and be the best father that I can be just as long as I stay active in Alcoholics Anonymous, right? That relationship with God and my recovery has to come first, or I'm not going to be there. You know, I know that, but in this last year, you know, so he's almost one, right? And this last year I've had to make some changes to my meeting schedule, right? You know, I was always a 5-6 meeting a week guy, right? Now I have my three core meetings. I've learned this in here too, you know, to always go to a book study, have a men's stag, and a home group, right? So those are my core meetings right now, right? Just real quick about pathways too, you know, I've been taking a meeting in the pathways for the last 5 years now, you know, the same place I got sober, right? And a lot of guys are, you know, what about the spirit of rotation? And I'll say, well, Leo, do you want to do it? Right? But no, that's been a blessing because I've seen guys come in just like me, beaten up, broken, you know, suicidal. You know, me and Patrick were talking the other day about that, and I was like saying how, you know, when a man comes in here suicidal, it's not cold because, like, this is the experience that I had. You know, it's like I started sharing that I was, like, suicidal when I came here because I was, right? And the guys would say, what meeting are you going to tomorrow? I'd be like, it's kind of cold, right? I mean, you hear what I'm saying, right? But it's that action, right? So when a guy comes in here like how I felt, right, that means he's done with himself, which is a great start, right? Sick of his own ideas, his plans, whatever it is, you know. My experience, that allows this loving God to come in, right? I've had that commitment for 5 years now, you know, and it's been a blessing. You know, it's been an absolute blessing. And, you know, I remember Maverick was, you know, in his first month, at least, you know, he was up a lot, you know, and I started doing this thing, you know, because I've always had my morning routine, you know. It'd be me, Maverick in my arms, you know, the dog, you know, 5 in the morning, I'd be reading the literature, right, 84 through 88, you know, the top of page 20, which I've read almost every day for the last 5 years. It says our very lives as ex-problem drinkers depend upon the constant thought of others and how we may help meet their needs. And that's what I need to hear every single morning. Because I wake up thinking about me. That's how it is. You know, I practiced that for a long time too. I can't expect it to go away just because I got sober, right? You know, I'm out in the backyard with my son this afternoon, and you know, it's a nice day, and he's like starting to walk now. You know, he's like starting to take steps, and he has his ball and stuff like that. And I was just thinking to myself, you can't make this stuff up. You know, look what God has done in my life. To a guy who couldn't, left to my own devices, I can't even make a sandwich right. I'll tell you that right now, right? And you know, this loving God has allowed me to be useful today, right? I'm gonna end with this, and I've never done this, but I have a. When I first got sober, men would suggest I start writing, doing a journal. And so I started doing that, and my sobriety date's July 26th, 2016, and this is a journal entry from 8/4/16, right? And it's a poem, and I'm not a poet or anything like that, right? But it says, another day alone in my head, the wheels keep turning when I go to bed. They say I will become happy, joyous, and free, but the thoughts I keep having scream misery. Is it worth it to feel this way? The emptiness doesn't want me to stay. But you have so much potential. That word to me is incomprehensible. The rooms and fellows keep me sane to help keep that needle away from my vein. Will I ever see the promises come to life? I don't know. But if I go back out, the answer is no. I'm tired of the look on my family's face with broken promises just for that chase. Being sober, I have the power of choice instead of buying that band-aid to suppress this voice. And that's exactly how I felt, you know. And the name of the game for me is just to get out of the way today. You know, I've had the privilege to work with men who have saved my life. You know, I hear this a lot, you know. Sponsors will refer to their sponsors as my guys. They're not my guys. They're God's children, right? And they're keeping me alive, right? And it's an honor and a privilege to watch these men go through, you know, any circumstance, and they stay sober, right? I had COVID last year, and three of the guys didn't even know I had it because they were just talking about them the whole time, which was perfect. That's exactly what I needed, right? But no, I've never had it so good today, you know, and it's a direct result of Alcoholics Anonymous, these four walls. I thank you all for being a part of my recovery tonight, and God bless. Thank you.
Excellent. Can we get one more round of applause from the program speaker?